Hello and welcome to the Get Started with Film Photography podcast. My name is Graham Young. This is the first of a two-part episode on black and white film. Now, it's part of a larger series of episodes. Episode one, which was also a two-parter, was general information about film. Episode three is about the color negative. Episode four is about slide film. And episode five is about specialty film and expired film. In this episode, I will talk about the nature of the negative, companies currently producing film as of 2019 in the spring, what to look for in a film, traditional grain versus tabular grain, plus film and developers and how they get along with each other. I will start off today with the nature of the negative. Almost all black and white film made today is designed to be negative film. What that means is when it's developed, the image is reversed from what you would see if you were looking at a scene through a black and white filter. So what's light is dark and what's dark is light. This is designed to be scanned or printed and reversed from a negative to a positive image. So the photograph that you hold in your hand would be considered a positive image if what's black in the scene is black and what's white in the scene is white. That film is a negative image. It is reversed. When we scan the image, we set the scanner to recognize a negative or an inverted image. If we print it, it by default creates a positive image. So if we think about what we talked about before, in the last episode, we talked about how light hitting silver halide made that silver metallic, that silver halide metallic silver. It turned it black. And that was also part of the developer. The developer helped that process come along. And then all of the unused silver was washed out of the gelatin, out of the emulsion, off of the film. Now that black image that was on that negative will actually block light. In a traditional black and white process, you would put the negative into an enlarger. What an enlarger is it's a light source that sits up above the negative, and then either there is a diffusion chamber, which lets the light bounce around a little bit, or there's a condenser lens, and a condenser lens does what we would think of any other lens. It collimates the light, which means that it lines up the light rays. So it's either a condenser enlarger or it's a diffusion enlarger. And they both have their values. Diffusion enlarger will give you long, long areas of gray tones, slight gradations in gray tones. Condenser enlargers will give you a very punchy, contrasty image. So they both have their value in that dark room for enlarging. But the light comes out of that enlarger head and maybe through the condenser, or it's just diffused a little bit coming down, and it's shone through the negative itself. And that negative itself will then be focused on a piece of photographic paper. Now, photographic paper is just like photographic film, but by and large, it is less light sensitive. The grains of silver in a piece of photographic paper will be very fine. And remember, very fine silver means a slower image, but a much more detailed image. So that's one of the reasons why we use that in photographic paper. As the light goes through that negative and is focused on that photographic piece of paper, the black areas on the negative will block light from coming through to the paper. Or where there is no silver, that allows light to hit the paper and turn that part of the paper black after it is developed. But it gives a latent image, and then we put it through the developer, and the developer develops out that area that was exposed to light. Well, anywhere where it was blocked, that will be white or very light gray, and this is a traditional black and white process. So what all of this does is this allows us to print a direct positive from the negative. So we shoot the negative in our camera, very small piece of film. We usually then enlarge it in an enlarger, or we scan it on a computer, and that allows us to now get a positive image. Almost every black and white today is designed to be negative film, with a couple of exceptions. Agfa Scala, and I don't think that that's actually being made anymore, but I don't have direct information. But it's still available if you want to look on the secondary market. It's still available. Agfa Scala is a type of film that was made to be a positive. So it would be very much like a slide, but it would be black and white. So you could hold it up after it's developed and you would see what should be black is black and what should be white is transparent. So you can shine light through that and put it up on the wall and it will look like it should. What's positive is positive and what's negative is negative. Black and white negative film today comes in three basic speeds. So it comes in slow, and slow would be ISO 25 to 100. And remember, I'm talking about films that are being manufactured today for shooting in film still cameras. So there are also some specialty and oddball films that are out there that are either slower or faster than what I'm describing. I will take care of that in the last episode of this series. So we have the slow film, which is 25 ISO to 100 ISO. We have medium film, which is 200 to 400 ISO. And then we have fast film, and we jump all the way to 3200 ISO film. Now, I talked a little bit last week about 3200 ISO film. There are two products on the market. One of them is Ilford Delta 3200, and the other one is Kodak T-Max 3200. Neither of them are true 3200 films. You have to kind of push process them, which means that you have to develop them longer. And that adds grain, which is certainly something you're going to get anyway with a very sensitive film. But those films can also be shot at 1,000 or 1,200, right in that range, and then develop normally, and they still, it's a fast film, it's not any slower of a film, but it's a fast film, and it comes out with a little bit more tonal range, a little bit less grain, and it's a beautiful film shot at those speeds. In black and white film, as opposed to color film, you're really looking at three areas of what we would call continuous tone. And continuous tone is stepping from one gray to another without actually seeing the steps. So I use the term stepping, but moving from a dark gray to not quite so dark to just a little bit less dark to a medium, a dark medium to a semi-dark medium. You get the idea that we're going through these, all of these very smooth tones of gray. We really usually break them up into three groups. There's shadows, and shadows would be the darkest areas in any photograph. Then we go to midtones, and then to highlights. Now, midtones are that middle area. Those are the light close. Those are the green foliage. Those are, you know, that type of thing. It's that middle gray area. And that middle gray area can be quite a lot of variation from the lightest to the darkest in that middle gray. The highlights then are things like, I'm a bald man, I shave my head. The light glinting off my head, if I'm out in the sun, that would be certainly a highlight. That might be the brightest highlight, and if it's really bouncing the sun and, you know, maybe I'm sweating so it's a little bit glossy out there, that should go past the ability of the film to render that brightness, and it should do what we call block up. Now, block up means that, remember, this is a negative, this is an inverse image, that the silver in that area creates a solid area of mass. And that solid area of mass is not going to let any light through when it's scanned or when it's printed in a traditional enlarger. that would be blocked up, meaning that there's no detail in there. You can't see any subtleties in my skin. So that would be a blocked up area. So let's go to the next step down. Say we're outside again and I'm wearing a white t-shirt. That should be a very, very, very light image with almost no detail, but it should have at least some detail. Where there are wrinkles, we should see detail. If we're close enough to see the cotton threads, or maybe it's an old t-shirt and there's some pilling on that t-shirt, we should see those little bits of shadow in there. That would be highlight detail. Now we're going to also, in this same situation, assume that I am standing next to a tree. Let's say it is, I live in Florida. We have wonderfully big, huge oak trees. The bark of an oak tree is a cross between brown and gray, and it's fairly dark, but it is also, in this scenario, out of the sun. So if we don't have anything that's really bouncing light into that area, say like a bright sidewalk, a white concrete sidewalk or the white wall of a building or something like that, if we don't have anything bouncing any light into that shadow, that would be the shadow area, and we should be able to still see the bark texture on the trunk of that tree. That is the idea of the shadows. Then the midtones, I'm a person of European descent living in the United States, so I have lighter Caucasian skin tones, but I also have a black and white, salt and pepper beard, mostly salt, a little bit less pepper every day. Those types of things, and shadows on my face, shadows on my skin tone, those should be rendered in that middle gray area. Now, there's something to really know about the meter on your camera, for those of you who are running with a metered camera, and that is most of us. The meter on your camera is trying to get to middle gray. Just imagine we're shooting a wall that is painted half black and half white. When you look at the black, this is a bright day. But it's not going to wash out that black. It's a really good, deep, matte black, that type of thing. Your camera meter is going to try to make sense of that scene in terms of what we call 50% gray, middle gray. Or you'll also hear an 18% gray card. 18% gray means that you take white ink and you introduce 18% black ink. That will give you an absolutely middle gray. You would think 50-50 would do that, but that's 50-50 would be really dark. So an 18% gray card, it would be that 50% gray. Well, your camera is going to look at the black and the white, and it's going to say, okay, the black is way over here, the white's way over here, I'm going to settle somewhere right in the middle. If I'm wearing, just assume that I am also a clown. I am not a clown. Well, or at least not a performance clown. I'm maybe a clown in everyday life. But imagine me in clown gear. I'm the classic circus clown. I have a big red nose and my hairline would be about the same. You know, I might be wearing red and green and blue and all these different colors. Your light meter is still trying to get you to that 50% gray. It is still trying to get that scene to that 50% gray. So the other day I talked about being in Charleston, South Carolina on vacation with my wife and my mother-in-law and her best friend. We spent, you know, a lot of time walking around that city because the downtown area, the historic district, is a really nice area to walk around. I took a picture of a very, very white pillar. And it's not really a pillar. It's not a standalone pillar, but it's a finished part of the corner of a building. And it was painted bright white. And I took a picture of that. And in between that pillar and the next building was an alleyway that was in shadow. If I had brought my meter right up to that white part that was in light, then that my light meter, that film would render that white as 50% gray. It would say, this is a very, very bright scene, so it's going to render that light as 50% gray. Conversely, if I pointed my camera down that alleyway, and I metered for that alleyway, that alleyway would probably be in very good exposure, but that white pillar would be well overexposed. It would be overly bright. It would be ridiculously bright. It would probably block up and there would be no detail. I wanted detail in that, and I wanted detail in the alleyway. So what I did was I actually metered for what we call Sunny 16. I had bright sun on that part of the building, and I knew that pretty much what I saw with my eyes was going to be rendered with the film by shooting F16 at the speed of the film. And I forget, it might have been Fuji 200 daylight film. So I forget exactly what the film was, but my shutter speed would be at the speed of the film. So if it was 200 speed film, it would be at 250, and my aperture would be at Sunny 16, at that 16 number. I ended up with a bunch of really great shadow detail down that alleyway. I got a bunch of really good detail with that pillar, and you can see the brush strokes in the pillar. And it was a very difficult lighting situation that actually worked very well because I knew what the different areas would be read on the meter and how they would be registered by the film. So really what we want, here's the ideal, and I'm saying what we want. This may not be what you want in any given situation, but this is the standard thing of what we want. We want detail in the shadows. We want long gray areas, midtones, and then we want highlights that have detail. And that's the idea of that long gradation. Now, you may decide, hey, in this situation, I want black and I want white and I don't want any grays in the middle. And there are lots of ways of going about doing that with film. I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'll be right back after this. In the past several years, we've lost many film manufacturers out there. There was a Czech company, Forte, that we used to buy a lot of paper from, even though FOMA, which is another Czech company, is still out there. We have lost many manufacturers of film. Fuji, for instance, no longer produces any black and white film. They are out of that market, though they still do produce a lot of color film and slide film. So I'm going to talk about the major brands, and then I'm going to talk about the boutique brands. So the major brands are Ilford from the UK, and that's actually Harman Technologies is the name of the company. Ilford is the brand of film. They also have another brand. There was a company called Kentmere that they took over a while ago, and they sell a budget brand of film called Kentmere, And that Kentmere film, Kentmere 100 and Kentmere 400, is a pretty good solid film. But it is that second brand, kind of like the secondary brands that car manufacturers have. Then in the U.S., there's Kodak, and Kodak makes four different types of film. They also make the traditional grained Tri-X, and traditional grained Tri-X is probably one of the older formulas that's on the market, and it gives you a really classic film. FOMA is a company in Czechia that has been producing film for a very, very long time, and they continue to produce film. And again, they produce black and white film. And it's important to note that Ilford and FOMA right now pretty much only produce black and white film. And in the world of film, it is this black and white film that really pretty much keeps us going. But there is also plenty of color film out there. Orwo is a German company, and they produce cinema film, and they sell it to us still photographers. And again, they have a couple of different black and white models. There is a Ukrainian company, and they were an old Soviet company, called Svima, and they also have another brand, Astrum, and they produce color and black and white film. And so they're still going today, although at this current time in 2019, there is some unrest in Ukraine dealing with the Russian government. And I'm sure you're aware of that in the news. Then there's a company, it's a series of brands, and it's a German company, and they are Agfa, Adox, and Rolly. And I believe they're all being released by the same company. And there's another company that's behind them, and I forget exactly what the name of it is. I did a bit of research, and I didn't write it down, and now I've forgotten what that is. But they sell a considerable range of different black and white films, including that Scala film that I talked about a few minutes ago, which is a slide film. Lomography is let's give that full name. The Lomography Society is a company out of Austria, and they have done quite a bit of selling of cameras, selling of film. Even in the digital age, they kept going with cameras. And I'll talk a lot more about them in future episodes. But they sell quite a bit of film in black and white that is rebadged film from other companies. Now, they don't necessarily tell you up front what company is producing their film, and they have been known to switch suppliers in the middle of a run or switch suppliers without notice. So it's definitely worth looking at their stuff. And I don't really know at this point who's supplying the black and white film to Lomography. Then there's a Chinese company called Lucky and another Chinese company called Shanghai. And both of those companies have produced black and white film, but it is unclear to me when I did my research whether they are both up and running. At least one of them is, because there's Chinese branded or made in China film coming out today, but I was having trouble tracking down which one of those companies was the company that was actually making it. There is a company called Ultrafine, and you can find them. They're an American company called Ultrafine, and they have a website, ultrafineonline.com. Now, they produce probably the most economical film that's out today. I have found many conflicting stories as to where this film actually comes from. It is brand new, fresh film. There are two main types of film, and they're both called Ultrafine Extreme, and it's Ultrafine Extreme 400 and Ultrafine Extreme 100. They are traditional grain films, and on the box of the film, it says made in EU. Now, there are some things that are kind of interesting. the backing paper for the 120 size ultrafine 100 and ultrafine 400, it is identical to Ilford Harmon products. Now, that doesn't mean that it's actually the film itself is made by them. It could be they just source the backing paper from Ilford Harmon. They don't publish this information, but I did see a listing on Wikipedia of all places that said Gen America United Corporation does the coding. Now, I didn't go into any more information as to who they were, but let's just suffice it to say that the film is available, and whether it's also available under another name, I can't tell you. However, here's what I can tell you. I shoot a lot of it, and I'm not trying, believe me, I'm not trying to sell their product to you. But what I can tell you is it's the cheapest film, and it's a competent film. So you may like it, you may not like it, but I use it quite a bit. So I wanted to be upfront about that. Now, that kind of leads us into the next type of film. Now, boutique or rebrand film. Now, boutique film means that it's a small operation. They make a limited amount and they run out quite often. But they are essentially making their own film. The other idea is rebranded film. Now, rebranded film is something that is very common in the industry. As I talked about Lomography, and I probably should have put them in the rebrand, but they're a large major brand, so I put them up in that area. But one of the things that they do is they buy film from other companies, put their name on it, and they go ahead and sell it under those names. Let's talk about the boutique brands first, and I have three of them. The first one is a French company, and if I mispronounce their name, I'll spell it here in a second, but it's Berger, and that's the way I've heard it pronounced most often, but it's B-E-R-G-G-E-R. So it could be Berger or Berger, and they're French, and they coat the film themselves. They remember in the previous episode, I talked about the different silver halides. So silver iodine, silver bromine, silver, you know, all of those. Well, they produce a film that has two layers. One of them silver iodine and the other one silver bromine. So those two different layers of emulsion sit together. And I have yet to shoot it, but they have a 400 speed film. And I just haven't gotten around to shooting it, and I really should. Then there's another French company, and they do a little bit of rebranding, and they do a little bit of coding themselves. Then there's another French company that does a little bit of rebranding and a little bit of coding themselves. It's called Washi. Now, Washi is a type of Japanese paper that is very thin. And for the Washi film, that Washi paper is coated with photographic emulsion and then dried and then rolled. And then you shoot it through your camera. And I can only imagine that it would work a little bit better in 120 than it would work in 35. And I don't know whether it's available in 35. Again, this is a product that I've not shot before. But you can then enlarge through the paper, and you get the texture of the paper in the image. It's a little bit different. Then they also rebadge a bunch of very odd stocks of films, and they sell it under their own name. And it's like Washi K, Washi L, Washi M, and they run through the alphabets. And I don't know if those are the current letters that they're on. In Italy, there is a company that ran a Kickstarter maybe 4 years ago called Film Ferrania. Ferrania was an Italian manufacturer of film that was in later years owned by the 3M Corporation. They made film in a factory in Italy. Well, that factory was about to be torn down, and they did a Kickstarter, and the Kickstarter got enough money to purchase the factory. And they've been trying to get that thing up and running ever since. And bureaucracy has stepped in their way quite a bit. but then also safety rules and some other things have gotten in their way. They are currently producing a black and white film called P30 Alpha. And that P30 Alpha, I've shot a few rolls of it, and it is a beautiful film. It is an 80 speed film, which means that it's a third of a stop down from 100 speed film, or two thirds of a stop up from 50 speed film. Cosmo is a company, and I believe that they're headquartered out of England, that rebadges some FomaPan film, but they do it in an incredible way. They have some great repackaging. They get the name out. They are really a fun company to follow. And that's Cosmo Film. Then there's Silbera, and I'm not sure exactly where they're from. I have two places in my head, and I don't have it in my notes, so you guys can look it up. But Silbera, for some reason, I think they're out of Italy, but then there's something that tells me they're out of Russia. So I'm probably off on one of those two, but they're known to rebadge Agfa, Kodak, and Orwo film. Similarly, there's a company called Street Candy, and they rebadge ATM Surveillance film, ATM Surveillance black and white film. Now, there's one more that I just have realized that I have not put on there. There's JCH StreetPan 400. Now, JCH stands for Japan Camera Hunter, and that's actually a company that's run by a man named Bellamy Hunt, and so Camera Hunter. He's an Englishman who lives in Japan, and one of the things that he does is he goes out and finds different cameras that people in the West are looking for, but are very difficult to find in the West, but are easier to find in Japan. So that was what his major business was for a long time. He also runs a blog. Well, he decided that he wanted to put out his own film. So what I understand it to be, and I may be wrong about this, but what I understand it to be is an Agfa surveillance type of film. Now, some people will go buy, say, 15,000 feet of this film, run a batch, and then they're done with it. What I understand about JCH 400 Street Pan is that it is a film that they are still producing, and they're producing with his recommendations or requests. Now, whether there's a tweak to that emulsion, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. What I'm going to say is if you want to try out the film, and if you like it, continue to buy it, because that's really the way to go. If you have any questions, I have a once monthly podcast of questions and answers. If you have a question, go to the website, getstartedwithfilm.com, and fill out the form, or send me an email, graham@getstartedwithfilm.com, and that's spelled graham@getstartedwithfilm.com, and put in the subject line whatever the subject of the question is, so I know how to organize each question. If you are on Instagram, you can follow the feed of the show at Get Started With Film. If you hashtag your posts, Get Started With Film, I have a pretty good chance of seeing your work, and I might feature it in the show's feed. Our music comes from filmmusic.io. This track is Poofy Reel by Kevin McLeod of Incomptech.com, and it's licensed through Creative Commons.